breaking ball and a call. Strike three. Third strikeout for Zach.
He's going to just watch it go. A grand slam for Bryson Stott.
And there's a high fly ball. Deep right field. Harper watches it fly.
From WHYY and Billy Penn, it is hitting season. Hey there, podcast pals. I'm John Stolness from The Good Fight and Billy Penn. You can follow me on Twitter at John Stolness. Coming up, we're going to recap these first four games of the Phillies season. Recording here on Monday night, so we'll get you our thoughts on opening weekend and then this first game against the Cincinnati Reds. And the Phillies raised a banner for 2023. Do you have a problem with it? Do you have a problem with it? And we're also going to talk about Rhys Hoskins continuing to troll and then own the Mets. Lots of good stuff to get to here on this episode of Hittin' Season. Joining me is my good friends, Justin Clue and Liz Rozier. Justin Clue from Baseball Prospectus, as well as the podcast The Dirty Inning and Absolutely Hammered over at our Hittin' Season Patreon. Follow Justin on Twitter at Justin_Clue. Justin, one weekend of Phillies baseball is under our belts. How about that?
You know, what you can really respect about this Phillies team in 2024 is that they're not afraid to look terrible. Some teams come out of the gate like, oh, look at us. We're so good. We score and win a lot, and we always will. But the Phillies are like, baseball's hard, and we're really sore, and running the bases is impossible. Hitting just feels really aggressive right now, honestly. And some teams just, you know, some teams can just cruise through the spring like a nice car with a perfect engine. And the Phillies are like a guy waking up behind the wheel on the highway in the middle of June. They just start smashing into things and causing chaos until they straighten out. So you really got to hand it to them. You know, they aren't afraid to show the world who they really are when they aren't feeling it.
That's a movie I'd watch.
Yeah, that is a good movie. That is a good movie. And, you know, I think we might see a lot of it here in 2024 with these Phillies here. Liz Rozier, that, of course, is Liz Rozier from Yahoo Sports. Follow her on Twitter at Liz Rozier. Liz, how are you?
I mean, so positive about the Phillies. I just feeling good, feeling great. Saw nothing but good stuff this weekend. Well, Did I turn off some of the games before they ended? Yeah. Did I not even watch the game on this evening that we are recording Monday night because there was a more interesting women's basketball game on? 100%. But guys, let's not be too down on these Phillies. As Justin said, baseball's really hard.
Well, I have been watching this game here on Monday night, and allow me to roll up my sleeves we get ready to go here because we've got some stuff. I want to address the listeners out there. And for those of you watching the YouTube channel, those of you watching on YouTube, who are upset about what you've seen these first four games, who might be perturbed, annoyed, frustrated even at what you've seen over the first four games of the 2024 Phillies. Like Justin said, baseball is a hard game. If it were easy, anyone could do it, right? So we acknowledge that baseball is hard. And it's just four games, everybody. Okay? What are you getting all upset about? It's a marathon, not a sprint, everyone. Don't you remember how terrible the Phillies have gotten off to each of these last two seasons and yet almost won a World Series and then almost got to another one? It's so easy to just kind of get, anybody can get off to a fast start. And everybody's just so selfish about it. We got to have all the wins early. We got to have them all now. It's going to be fine. There's no reason to get upset. There's absolutely. You're a bad fan if you're upset right now, okay? That's number one. If this has made you upset in any way, if this has increased your blood pressure in any way, upset you in any way, if you have a crossword to say, a criticism, a critique, anything about anybody on the team, you're not doing this right. Just relax. It's fine. There's no reason to be upset about anything. There's no reason to be upset about a 1-3 start. It's baseball. You know what? Sports isn't even really that important. Okay, baseball isn't even really that important. Okay, the things that are important in this world the gap is so large. So I don't understand, Justin. I really don't.
I gotta tell you, John. I think that is exactly what everyone wants to hear right now.
Yes.
Just sort of keep on talking.
Your feelings
right?
Feelings are wrong, and I'm judging your feelings. I can't say it any plainer than that.
Yeah, having been at a couple of these games over opening day weekend and just kind of gotten a general idea of fan
deeply
sentiment,
regretting your
I can
life
tell you,
choices.
Most people were leaving the stadium going, you know what? Who cares? It's totally fine. I'm going to go home and water my garden. This is going to be great. I can't wait. So you got your finger on the pulse, certainly.
Yeah. I mean, there are decks that need staining, right? Mm. There are dinners that need cooking. There are other things happening in the world.
A third thing, presumably.
These analogies don't work unless they're in threes. And so imagine, put the third one of yourself. Just imagine whatever that might be. Liz, we just gotta live with things. And there's just getting upset at this. It's not helpful in any way. You're a bad fan.
I'm not gonna say anything to, I live with a person who, is, occasionally the more dramatic type of fan, and by occasionally I mean all the time, so I get that perspective all 100% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the season is over, why are they still playing
four games in.
So you know, it's tough to sort of get out of that mindset a little bit, but yes, it had fallen on deaf ears in my household. It is just four games, and the Phillies have won one of them, which I think is much better than the alternative, which they could have won none of them, and we'd be sitting here looking even more ridiculous, trying to be like, hey, everything's fine.
Okay, at what point do I need to step in here?
No, I'm gonna jump in here because this is the nonsense we've been getting online. For anybody who sends out a tweet annoyed at Connor Brogdon giving up a grand slam in the 10th inning of the game here on Monday night as the Phillies lose 6-3 to the Reds. Anybody who's annoyed at blowing an opening day 2-0 lead, anybody who's annoyed at the fact that the offense can't hit the broadside of a barn here through the first four games, anybody who says anything like, oh my gosh, they look exactly the same as when they're at their low last year. There's no sense of urgency. Why are they not putting Brandon Marsh in the game? These are all reasonable, rational things to get upset about. Rational. I'm going to make up words here because I'm it's okay to have feelings about what we're watching here, gang.
Yes.
And it's a team that once again has gotten off to a slow start. And after they told us all off season that they wanted to really work towards getting off to a fast start this year, they really wanted to value on getting off to a fast start. So what do they do in game three? They take Bryson Stott out of the lineup. They give Bryce Harper a scheduled day off and take Brandon Marsh out of the lineup. And that's the game they win.
That was hilarious, though. Goodbye.
That was
scheduled day
funny.
Off in game three. That was very funny. Not in a way
it's
that
not,
I wasn't
it's...
laughing at the time. But, no. You know, looking back, come on. That is if you were trying to pull a joke on Phillies fans that day, that you couldn't have done any better.
Yeah, after Bryce Harper went over the railing, freak everybody out. Like, that's perfect. Make sure everyone is just on edge constantly, which everyone is. Like, a level of concern is certainly warranted because we've seen some bad things. The season's not over, but we're all allowed to be concerned because what we have seen is concerning.
Well, I think I just need to wrap my head around this. I keep hoping that the Phillies are going to be a little different, right? I keep hoping that they'll figure out the flaws that they have and know the flaws that they have and mitigate them, work to fix them. The inconsistencies of the offense, you know, the back of the bullpen being a potential issue, the up and down nature of the offense, you know, like it's just this is exactly what we've seen over the last 2 years. You know, now coming into year three, they get off to slow starts. Bryce Harper was at the plate today as the tying run in the bottom of the 10th inning and struck out, and he's gotten off to a slow start. Really, the whole offense has gotten off to a slow start. It's continued the rough spring that they had down in Clearwater, where they didn't hit a lick all spring. And it's frustrating because, you know, we were really hoping for a different looking team this year. I mean, there are some good things that are happening, and maybe we should start off with that. Maybe we should start off talking about through these first four games some of the good things that we have seen, so as not to get people to jump off bridges and do other things to hurt themselves, right? There's been some good things here with the Phillies. So let's each start off with a little bit of positivity. And Liz, let me start with you. Give me one thing from these first four games, from this first weekend plus of Phillies baseball that you feel good about. What's one good thing?
One good thing. Zach Wheeler. I feel good about Zach Wheeler. That's the he was the first thing we saw on the mound. Actually, it was the first, you know, he was the first pitcher Philly saw on the mound. He was the first good thing, really. And yeah, that's pretty much what I'm going to take from this weekend, I think, is Zach Wheeler. Looks good, everybody. Don't take him out after five innings. Zach Wheeler looks good.
Yeah, that was an interesting decision. Obviously, you know, 89 pitches. They didn't want to push him too far in that opening game. I'm okay with that. You know, you had the bullpen. But generally speaking, as the season moves along, yes, you would like to probably get another inning out of Zach Wheeler, but still working to get his arm strength up to 100 pitches. But you're right. He looked amazing in the season opener. Justin, give me a good thing that you've seen over these first four games.
Heck, I'll give you two. When I thought Brandon Marsh was going to be the offensive difference maker in game one, when he was the Phillies player to break through and hit a home run off Spencer Strider, then I didn't know at the time that was going to be just about the last bit of Phillies offense you were going to see on that day.
Right.
But when it happened, it was very thrilling, and it was great to see Marsh, who was the first player I listed on my Billy Penn piece on 10 guys who could impact the game or any of the games over the weekend. And Marsh I had at number one, and he was the first player to knock in runs for the Phillies this season in that game. So, you know, a guy we obviously want to see more of and was part of that hilarious joke Rob Thompson pulled on us in game three by, you know, not having him start against a lefty again. But then he had him start tonight. So, you know, things might be changing in that regard. Probably they aren't. That was just, you know, a time that he wanted to start Brandon Marsh. But, you know, again, four games in, it's tough to really recognize trends, and trends are what I get concerned about. So it's more just about instances and moments this early in the season, and that was a fantastic moment. I also want to say Jeff Hoffman's name.
Yeah, Jeff's been good. Yep.
Completely.
Has allowed only two hits and a walk. One of the only pitchers to not allow a run, even in a series where they leaned on their bullpen probably more than they wanted to, and the bullpen did not come through in a lot of cases. But he is one guy who has come through, five strikeouts and 2 2/3 so far this season. You know, you want to be able to breathe when at least one of your pitchers is on the mound, and they came into the season with this high-rated bullpen. I guess in retrospect, you could have guessed this would be the outcome of that, but at the same time, there's very few judgments you can legitimately make at this moment. Liz, that's why I made that face when you said concerned, because concerned just that frustrated and bummed and disappointed and irritated. But concerned just makes it sound more like, oh, something happened that made me think the future is also in jeopardy. And in truth, you know, the next couple weeks could be very similar to this. And that's why, you know, John, when you say I was hoping to see a different team, I was also hoping to see a different team, but just was fully prepared to see the team we're seeing, because this is
them.
This team. They don't get out of bed till June. That's what they do.
That's what it is. And the current playoff structure, you can wait until June to really get yourself started. And the good things I saw, I'll give you two as well. Ranger Suarez and Christopher Sanchez, the starter on Sunday and the starter here on Monday. Both guys looked amazing. If they pitch like that all season, this is going to be a really good Phillies team. Like if you're getting that kind of production out of your number three and your number four starter, you're going to be just fine, because you know Zach Wheeler is going to be good. And so Ranger Suarez, Christopher Sanchez, little trouble early for Ranger Suarez in the game on Sunday, then really, you know, closed the doors and was very effective. Same thing with Christopher Sanchez. He was strong early, ran into a little bit of trouble in the sixth inning. And you know, they limited the damage there, and both guys looked excellent. That's exactly what you're hoping from both of those guys in those spots in the rotation. So,
John, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
What would the tone of this show be tonight if Ranger Suarez had like walked the bases loaded and allowed like 6 runs in 2 innings in this whole start?
Dark.
Like I would just have the light off in my office.
I would not.
Wearing a pair of like sinister orange goggles that you just see that floating as you talk about how disappointed you are in Ranger Suarez.
I would have just had a Gone Fishing sign hanging from the microphone here. That's what it would have been because, yeah, this would have been a very difficult podcast. And honestly, that's what
your son come in and sub for you instead.
That would have been entertaining, wouldn't it? And he'll have to make an appearance. Yeah.
Yes.
Daddy bashed his head through the wall and he got stuck. And he can't do the show tonight.
That's why I'm here.
He's asked me to fill in. So let's talk some Nationals.
I, of course, went to the first 2 games of the Phillies season and then in a just futile gesture walked across the street to the Wells Fargo Center seeking some kind of sanity. And boy, was it fun watching the Flyers get absolutely pounded by the Blackhawks as a fun little finale of my 0-for-3 weekend.
Well, ooh, I know, man. A lot of people, you were just a glutton for punishment this weekend. That's awful. My goodness. I mean,
I certainly a glutton. That's true.
Yeah. Yeah. Goodness. So I know a lot of people are going to be talking on Tuesday morning about Connor Brogdon. This was a 2-2 game here on Monday night as the Phillies went to the 10th inning. Of course, you start with the runner on second, the zombie runner on second with nobody out. But Connor Brogdon goes walk, grand slam to put the Phillies in a 4-run hole. And this came after the season opener when Jose Alvarado flat out imploded in that game. And there's just, he's never pitched that badly in a Phillies uniform before. Yeah, so it was just bad. One of those, that was a weird day, weird game for Alvarado. But Connor Brogdon came in and just absolutely threw gasoline on top of that, top of that tire fire. Can't throw strikes. When he does throw a strike, it gets blasted into smithereens. And so he won't be long for the team. As soon as Orion Kerkering is ready, he'll be here. So, but everybody's going to get upset about Connor Brogdon and say, oh, the bullpen's awful. The bullpen's awful. Bullpen had a bad opening day. They were very good on Sunday. And really, for the most part here on Monday, they were also very good. And
Matt
so
Strom,
I think,
anyone?
Strom had a rough
opening day. But after that, he has recovered.
He has recovered nicely. You mentioned Jeff Hoffman. Gregory Soto had a good one-pitch performance on Sunday, but got a big out.
That's all I needed
from Gregory Soto. The fewer pitches over the plate.
Yeah. Yeah, it's exactly right. The fewer, the better from him. So I think I'm not, and like you said, we're not talking about longer trends, right? I think we all believe that the main guys in the bullpen are going to be fine. It's these back end guys who, you know, a lot of this is trying to figure out, okay, who is going to be a contributor this year? Could Connor Brogdon be a guy? And I don't know why we keep putting him in there so often.
Nope.
I mean, it's a deep bullpen. There are other names.
The answer now is no. I think we know it. It's no.
Yeah, and maybe that's all this is Rob Thompson trying to figure out, is he going to be somebody I can go to? But at the same time, I know we're just 4 games in, but I'd rather not just give games away by having your worst relief pitcher pitch as much twice in 4 days. I don't understand. And a lot of what Rob Thompson has done these first few games, I don't really understand. But
yeah,
I will say, and I want to talk some more about Rob Thompson stuff, but I will say, everybody's going to be talking about Connor Brogdon on Tuesday, and certainly he was one of the main reasons they lost this game. But the reason the Phillies lost this game and the realize they have started off the season 1-3 is the offense. The offense can't get going. I think we're seeing Kyle Schwarber hitting some singles against left-handed pitching. That's a good sign.
There's a twist.
I love it.
I mean, really, there is, but I think that's good for his long-term prognosis, the fact he's staying on the ball, especially against lefties. The Phillies have faced 3 left-handed starters in their first 4 games, and their best bats are lefties, so, you know, I kind of get it. But at the end of the day, really, most of the lineup is just flailing, and I wouldn't be as worried if I hadn't seen them really struggle in the spring. And I guess I just have to keep reminding myself, like, Justin, you said this, I think, on the last podcast. It seems like we're always saying to ourselves, when is the Phillies offense going to get going? And so we sit here on Monday night after game 4 saying to ourselves, when is the Phillies offense going to get going? Because that's the main reason this team is 1-3 so far.
Yeah, anytime they want to get going would be appreciated. I don't know. I mean, if we spend all of spring training talking about how spring training stats don't count, can we really count them as part of, oh, I thought the Phillies would be better off by now? I mean, what did trying to have a more aggressive spring really even get them? They were like 10-17-3 or something.
Well, and they didn't change anything about how they did anything this spring. That was the other thing.
I think we might have been putting a lot of weight on something somebody just said once.
Yes, and a little bit.
May not have even really been going on, to be honest.
Yeah, may not have been true. Yeah. Now that we're looking at it.
Maybe they were trying to win, and it just wasn't working. Like, that's, I guess, the concern. But at the same time, now they're definitely trying to win, I assume. And yeah, they're gonna need some hits to do that. And when you're watching guys like Nick Castellanos argue balls and strikes, and you're like, dude, you do not have the license for this. Have to go sit down. The guy who's like waving at that same low and outside pitch as always does not get to tell the umpire when a pitch is close and he missed it. You're seeing that the flaws of everybody, really. Like, Trey Turner's kind of doing the same thing. He's whipping his head out. His swing's looking a little loose.
He's 0-2 every at bat. Every at bat, he is
almost
0-2.
Automatically.
Yeah, I mean, Kyle Schwarber talked in spring training about staying away from 0-2 counts, and that kind of has led to an aggressive approach because he gets into trouble when he gets into 0-2 counts. That same advice could really be applied to Trey Turner at this point as well. Harper, what do you want to tell Bryce Harper at this point?
He looks lost right now too, but I mean, what do you say about that?
Like, he looks lost, but what is, you know, he can only write himself. He's continuing the car analogy from earlier. He's just a self-driving maniac. He's going to figure out how to get there on his own, and I don't think there's anybody that's going to walk up and be like, hey, Bryce, have you considered making this little adjustment? And he's like, oh, I think he's just got to look in the mirror, scream at himself. Until the mirror cracks, and then come out and hit 3 home runs in a game, you know? So, again, these are all... The Phillies have assembled a team of established major league players who are all, like, 32 years old. I'm not saying these guys aren't capable of changing or adjusting. They should be. But they also have pretty well-established histories and reputations. I'm not saying they aren't worth getting mad at or disappointed by, but, like, if they were concerned about this, they would make an adjustment or they would try something a little different. It's frustrating to watch because you know these are guys who know what they're doing and they're all here because they played well enough and hit well enough to be here. And then, you know, opening day comes and they're like, what time's the game again?
Nuts. June.
Missed
the game
it.
Starts in June.
Gotta make sure I show right up. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Liz, I guess we just have to remember, like, that's who these guys are. I want them to be different. And it's frustrating because you're sitting down to watch a 3-hour game, right? And you don't want to be frustrated the entire time you watch it. And we get into this every year talking about this Phillies team, you know, like they go through these lulls and they go through these peaks and valleys and we keep riding the peaks and valleys. And the reason for that is because these are 3 hours or 2.5 hours or however much of these games that we watch where, you know, you're facing a team and a lineup and a pitching staff that you know you're better than. And, we can't treat these games like Eagles games. And yet, it's frustrating. It's frustrating to watch. But again, it's a 1-3 start. The team got off to a 1-4 start last year. They started off actually 0-4 and managed to do what they did. So, I mean, I guess if we weren't so online, maybe we wouldn't get as mad. I don't know.
I mean, here's the thing. We do a Phillies podcast. This is sort of our job. Is to be mad online about this stuff. We do a number of podcasts a week. Our job is to react to how the Phillies are doing in the moment. And right now, they suck. And it's frustrating to watch. And it's a conversation I have with myself probably twice a month during the Phillies season. And after the first, you know, 4 games, I've had it with myself 3 times. And so normally it's, you know, all right, I'm sitting here and the game sucks. Do I turn it off and move on with my life? Or do I keep it on, hate myself, and also hate the Phillies, but continue to think of myself as a, you know, a fan who watches it all, you know, good and bad? It's a conversation I've had with myself a number of times over the last couple of days. And I haven't quite come to a decision, though I will say most of the time I turned the game off and went on with my life and felt pretty good about it afterwards.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like it's got to be said as well that, like, you know, it is, it's not really fair to just kind of like throw out, well, this is who this team is. You know, I have adjusted to them, but they have to find some way to reduce this sluggishness. They really do. And like, as the one guy here who picked them to win the division on this show, just because I was feeling loosey goosey that night, I guess. Mm-hmm. I probably should be the one advocating for more aggressive results from the offense. And I guess the answer, it's just because there is not an answer. And there's not like not a clear answer, at least when they're not able to hit some of the best pitching in baseball, when they're playing the Braves, you know, maybe there's a little more insulation there. When you start playing the Reds and you're still kind of getting stifled, and you have some, you know, you have a guy like Bryce Harper in your lineup. You don't know what exactly to say, but maybe some more stability would help. Like, things still feel kind of wobbly as far as outfield positions go. Marsh, Thompson seems determined to make Marsh into a platoon player.
Yeah.
And I feel like that phase has passed. You know, I feel like everybody's in agreement on that. Everybody from every part who watches the Phillies is in agreement on that, except Rob Thompson. And then it kind of throws Whit Merrifield's role into question, but he seems like really eager to use him. He's given guys off days that are scheduled, but like, again, we're four games into the season. It's just been a disappointing collection of loose parts, even with guys like Stott and Bohm and Real Muto. And honestly, Schwarber hitting singles, you want him doing more than that, but you know, he's hitting something. And in a time like this, it's like, some of these guys are hitting, but right now, not enough of them are. And a lot, you know, they got to be coming through more of the time to shake this sluggishness off and really, you know, look like the team they're supposed to be.
Well, Bryce Harper had a number of opportunities on Monday to drive in some big runs and didn't come through in any of those situations. And the Phillies as a team are 7-for-32 with runners in scoring positions to start off the season. I think that's a 2.13 average. 218 average with runners in scoring position here to start off the season. You're just not going to win a lot of baseball games that way. But again,
Rojas is an automatic out as well. He has not been
not working which, out. Well,
he's continued that trend he started in the spring.
Well, if you're going to be an automatic out, then you can't get picked off second base in the bottom of the ninth inning when
Let's talk about Rojas and Stott. Stott got picked off earlier in the game too. So
that's not a him thing. He doesn't usually do that. He's usually really aware.
These are the kind of mistakes These are the kind of mistakes that make you lose people. The booing was well deserved that occurred after that and after Brogdon's home run. I'll just use this opportunity to say what we were talking about earlier, John. I wish he'd brogged off. Anyway, moments like that.
I'm glad you brought it up when the cameras were rolling. I'm glad you did that.
Where Rojas gets picked off.
Man, I'm sad I missed that.
Stott gets picked off in the same game, a game that like everyone's thinking the same thing. Like, okay, new series, let's reboot. Let's clear the mechanism. Let's get a win here. And they commit mistakes like that. That's so much worse than just, a bad at bat, or, they didn't come through with a scoring chance again. Because, you know, with repetition, these things do happen over the course of a baseball season at some point. These moments where they're just like committing fundamental errors, especially those two guys specifically, who are supposed to be some of the best base runners, or at least useful base runners on the roster, are getting picked off, aren't reading pitchers right, are wasting outs, are running the Phillies out of rallies. Like, that's the kind of stuff that's really going to make you lose people, and that goodwill is right out the door. I mean, this team, you know, they kind of deserve it at this point. The reactions they're getting, hey, you move into that territory where you're getting picked off base, you start to deserve the negativity a little more.
Yeah.
Winning fixes everything. All they have to do is win. That's it. They just have to win some games. And this will all go away.
Yeah, execute. And I mean, just execute the fundamentals. I mean, really, you execute the fundamentals in a 2-2 game in the eighth inning. You know what? What you got to do? Just really, you got to play for one run. I know normally you don't want to play for one run. You normally want to play for a big inning. But move some guys over and hit a fly ball. Like, just
they played for one run tonight, and they got it in the bottom of the tenth. They just were also down by four.
Right.
So it didn't work. But.
Oh boy!
Did I say I wish he'd brogged off yet?
Say he wish he'd brogged off. He has still brogged on.
That's my career maker right there. I want to make sure
it's a good one. It's a good
one. It's heard. Yeah. Hollywood, here I come.
Shirts. Get him on some shirts.
You're gifted, man. This is a gifting of yours. I want to talk a little bit. Do you guys sense a lack of urgency from Rob Thompson with some of these moves? I've seen that a lot. And I got to say, I think I kind of agree with it. I mean, you lose those first two games against Atlanta, right? And you come out with that lineup on Sunday. And I know they won, but it didn't show.
It's not his style, John. He's not a guy who's going to make those changes. He's not a guy who's going to, because that's panicking. And Rob Thompson doesn't panic. He trusts his lineup. He trusts his players. And that is never going to change. This is the manager that we signed up for. This is the manager the Phillies signed up for. And so I don't want to do the same thing I've done with the last how many managers now. I want to try and accept some of the foibles instead of constantly fighting against them. And the lineup change thing is something that I have decided I need to just accept, because he's not going to change it. It's just not going to happen. Those things that we want are not going to change, at least that specifically.
I just think we're giving away. I think you're right, but I also think we're giving games away here. I don't understand why Rojas again. Maybe it's just trying to see what Rojas has, but Rojas at the expense of Marsh doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. And you can tell me lefty righty matchup. I don't want to hear about the lefty righty matchup. Brandon Marsh has shown he's not great against lefties, but he's also not a black hole. And Rojas is a black hole against both. Now, I want to see Rojas play. He's got elite defense in center field, but I just don't. It seems as though Brandon Marsh has an OPS over 800 since he started with the Phillies back in 2022. Like, he has been one of this team's most consistent hitters since the trade. And you traded Logan Ohapi for a guy who you thought was going to be this young center fielder of the future, an everyday center fielder who that's the whole reason you traded that young, exciting catching prospect. You didn't get him so that you could trade him for a Jock Peterson, somebody who's only going to play against, you know, right-handers and the occasional soft tossing lefty or something like that. So that's why it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And I'm sorry, Rob Thompson, four games into a season, you're already scheduling days off for guys so that you can keep guys out. No, just especially if your stated goal, and right, Justin, maybe you're right. This is just something he said. If your stated goal was to get off to a faster start, then maybe at the start of the season, play your best guys. Just play your best guys for a few games to start things off. And maybe I'm howling at the moon, but it doesn't make any sense to me. It belies the things that he had said a month or two earlier.
I think the conclusion here is that we just disagree with Rob Thompson's biblical commitment to lefty-righty matchups. He puts a plan in his head, and he sticks with that. That's what he goes with. We know that's the kind of class of the school of managing that he comes from. He's not a screamer or yeller or a freaker outer. He's a guy who, you know, he thinks that it should be this way, and he just does it that way. And to that end, Liz is right, that there's not really anything that we're going to be able to do there. It's not like you can start a fan petition to determine how the manager sets the lineup and who he wants to see in the game. End of the day, all we can do is disagree with it, and I think that's kind of just it here. Like, I don't want to speak for all of us, but I feel like we generally here disagree with how Rob Thompson handles his lineup at the moment. If he becomes a guy who's like, you know what, that's not working, let's just put everybody that, you know, is actually hitting in the lineup until they stop hitting, who knows, that might work for a while. It might not. You never know with this team. They're, you know, they're like a little wind-up toy that the knob snapped off. You never really know what's going to happen next. So, at the end of the day, you got to just, his philosophy doesn't align with ours. And, you know, you can hear people saying, well, what is your major league managing experience? And I would say, you know, it's zero. It is zero.
But we've watched a lot of bad managing.
That's true. We have watched terrible managing. That's, you know, we know what not to do. That's fair enough.
That's right. By the way, just as we're recording here, we have our first no hitter of the 2024 season. The Houston Astros' Ronel Blanco has thrown the first no-no of 2024.
Right after getting swept by the Yankees.
Yeah, he's.
This season is already
pretty drunk.
On something.
Yeah, it really is. Four of the last seven no-hitters have been thrown by Astros. Just FYI. So,
that's a startling and unpleasant statistic.
Yes, wow. It is.
That feels...
I'm really enjoying watching the Colorado Rockies season unfold. I think it is just a hoot, honestly. Well, the White Sox are like boring terrible. They just like don't do anything well.
It's sad, terrible.
They got to keep going out there every day. And Jerry Reinsdorf's like, build me a stadium. And they're like, oh, we're terrible. And no one is thrilled by it. But the Rockies, oh my goodness, they are a circus. They are a lot of fun
it's
to watch
fantastic.
Be terrible.
It's a clown show.
They might have to, you know, whenever I'm looking for a baseball game to watch, I'm like looking around and like there's some teams I'll always put on, but like the Rockies usually aren't one of them. And I feel like that's going to change right this season, right this moment. If there's a Rockies game on, I will be watching it.
You know, I want someone to become like this generation's Cleveland Spiders. And I really feel like the Rockies can do it if they try. Like, sell all your players that are even halfway decent. I mean, give me a win total in the 20s. I'm hungry for that. I want that in the worst way.
They
People
traded
are going to say it's
for
bad for baseball.
Jake Cave. They traded for him.
They're off to a good start. That is Spiders-like, I got to say.
He was the only player in the deal, wasn't he?
Yeah, well,
they
cash considerations.
For
so,
him.
Yeah. Yeah,
they wanted him and gave cat like that's how much they wanted him. That's just fascinating.
It's a fabulous move by your Colorado Rockies.
Then again, we haven't checked the stats. He might have like three home runs on the year.
He
so
probably
far
does.
Already.
He probably does.
Probably.
I do want to touch on one other thing from these first four Phillies games, and there's probably not a whole lot to say about it. But if you were hoping for a different narrative to start being spun about Aaron Nola after signing his 7-year contract with the Phillies. You are not in luck because Aaron Nola, and as much as we have talked about how important we thought it was for the Phillies to sign him, and I still think he will on the whole be a very good pitcher this year. For a guy who's a 1B pitcher, you know, top of the rotation, that guy gets shelled more than most semi-top of the rotation starters. And they
so
just
bad.
Left him in there on Saturday because he had to wear it for a little while because
he got to stay in the game. Wheeler, 89 pitches, throwing a shutout. You got to go. Nola,
well,
you're staying in there.
Nola was so efficient with the number of runs he allowed. He was still in the sixth inning only at like 60 some pitches. I mean, you could justify it because he was just so good at giving up runs with as few pitches possible. He's an artist.
He is very good at that.
He paints them as if they were his oils. You know, it was marvelous. Marvelous
thing
to see.
The Picasso of melting down in the fourth inning.
That's right. Yeah, just so. I mean,
that might be a fun dirty inning sometime.
Yeah.
Aaron Nola's fourth inning meltdowns. A quick trip through Aaron Nola's mid-game meltdowns.
John, I assume the narrative you're talking about is the one the man in front of me explained to me at the game. I did not ask for this.
No,
this was unsolicited.
To be told
you're going
to
tell me? All right.
But I assume it's the same one, which is that as soon as that contract got signed, as soon as ink touched paper, he was like, I don't need to pitch ever again. I have what I need, so I'm done now to be bad on purpose forever. Thanks for the free stuff, suckers.
They just gave me a $167 million check for all this, for doing not even doing anything. They just give it to you ahead of time.
I mean, people say it. It's the same story of any player who's gotten any long-term or significant deal pretty much anywhere. This isn't labeled to Philly. So, you know.
Well, that's projecting.
At the same time,
they're projecting, right? Like, if I got that money, I wouldn't work again another day in my life. Now, so they just project that onto the player.
Or just the opposite. If I got that money, I would be the best there ever was every day forever. And nothing could stop me. Unlike Aaron Nola. But yeah, I think this is a two things being true scenario where he is one of the most frustrating pitchers to watch because of how good he can be and how bad he has been. But also, I don't think he got a 7-year extension and decided to then get shelled on opening night at Citizens Bank Park. I don't think that was a conscious decision.
Liz, do you think Aaron Nola has decided to stop working?
Yes, I do.
Interesting. Expand on
completely.
That.
He's obviously just decided it's no longer worth it.
Yeah.
1 year's salary with the Phillies and he's fine.
Maybe the reason the Braves didn't lock up anybody on one of their crazy deals this winter is because they gave all that money under the table to Aaron Nola to act as a shadow
agent.
The Phillies rotation. I would rather if someone had turned around and told me that on opening night. Not the same old boring narrative about a guy shutting down after getting his deal.
Nope. He's a double agent, just like in the show Alias.
That's right. I knew there really wasn't anywhere to go with Aaron Nola got shelled again, but it's important to bring up because it was certainly one of the talking points of the weekend. It's just
stop doing that.
Yeah, the whole team has been frustrating over these first 4 days.
Mm-hmm. It's not cute, Aaron. Pitch better.
Please. Yep, please.
Even though you've gotten all your money, please try.
We hate having this conversation. Oh my God, I hate it.
Your arms are tired from pushing all those wheelbarrows full of cash back to your house, but please try to get enough rest.
Have you guys ever tried sleeping in a bed made of money? It's uncomfortable.
With the newborn baby in the house, it must be impossible. You have to pile so much money on top of the baby to make it stop crying.
Mm-hmm.
It's just we don't take the private lives of athletes into consideration when they're struggling, and we really need to. All right. Anything else from this first weekend we want to touch on, cover, we haven't covered? I think we've gotten everything, right?
I wish he'd brogged off?
Yeah.
Okay.
Unfortunately, yeah.
All right.
Get it tattooed on your forehead.
I don't really normally like to bring stuff up that like radio stations talk about. And I know a lot of people listening to podcasts and a lot of people don't like sport. I think sports radio is fun when I get a chance to listen to it because I don't take it seriously. It's just kind of it is what it is and it's fine. I was surprised when this question was brought up on the WIP morning show that there were actually differences of opinion. I really couldn't believe it. And as I posted this question or tweeted about it on Monday, my reaction to it, I was amazed to see people actually having a different opinion, having multiple opinions on this issue. And it just boggles my mind. There are people in the morning show on WIP is upset that the Phillies decided to create a 2023 banner, like a pennant, to raise up in the outfield to have flying with all the other pennants or banners that they have up there from different seasons past. And obviously, this was the first time the Phillies ever earned a wild card spot and didn't really achieve anything like a pennant or a World Series title or a division title. So it's obviously a different type of flag. And it's a powder blue flag they have flying up there. Mm-hmm. But they didn't win a pennant. They didn't win a division. They didn't win a championship. But they raised a flag because they made the playoffs. And there are people who think it was kind of stupid for the Phillies to do that. Because the argument is, well, they haven't done anything. They didn't do anything. They didn't accomplish anything. They didn't win a pennant. They didn't win a division. They didn't win anything, so to speak. So why are we raising a pennant for mediocrity? They're called basically like a participation trophy kind of a thing. And I think it's the dumbest argument I've ever heard. Are we so spoiled by this baseball team that we think it's just like no big deal to earn a wild card spot?
Did you hear the first 40 minutes of this show? Spoiled.
What are we doing here? Of course you raise a flag for a playoff berth. The fact that even if they hadn't won two series last year and gotten to the NLCS, anytime you make the postseason, you celebrate your postseason appearances. Raise the flag up there. It's okay because you can look at 2023 and say, oh, that's the year we won the wild card. We almost got to the World Series for the second straight year. Like, why would you not raise the flag? Liz, explain this to me. How on earth could anyone think otherwise?
I'm going to say almost making the World Series is, I don't know, you keep saying it like it's a thing that, it's not something I feel particularly moved by. Like, I mean, if people, I have nothing against the Phillies raising a flag, but my rebuttal is, did they get a ring for it? Then we're not raising a flag. You get a ring for winning the championship series, which the Phillies did not do.
But you don't get a ring for winning the division. And people seem to think it was okay to raise a flag for winning the division even if you had lost, like, imagine if you're the Braves last year, you raise the flag for winning the division, but you don't get as far as the Phillies in the playoff. But there are fans who think it would be more reasonable to raise a flag for winning the division rather than winning a wild card, even though ultimately at the end of the day, you didn't go as far as somebody else. And that's just, I think there's an inconsistency there.
That's a bias. That's a bias because they were alive when they were kids. That's just, it was division, NLCS, win the pennant, World Series. There was no extra, it's the extra wild card spot that I think people are irritated about, that like, oh, well, they wouldn't have won it if it hadn't been created. But you could say that about everything other than like the league championships series. There's people 50 years ago that would have been saying division flag for what? Not even making it to the World Series. Like,
right.
It's more just, that is more just recency bias, I think. I mean, the other stuff about mediocrity and participation trophies,
that's,
I don't think
stupid.
We need to worry about the Phillies wandering out to center field and staring starry-eyed up at that 2023 wild card flag and thinking, yeah, that was good enough. Never again. or it doesn't say 2023 and then in like small letters underneath, winning is hard, let's stop. Or fans are gonna like see it out there and think like, well, that was about as far as I'm willing to go from now on.
I had or a like golf Rob vacation Thompson, planned.
Rob Thompson gave his like hype up speech in center field and like kept pointing at the flag like, that was scary. Let's not do it. I'm getting too close. Way too close. It's that or less from here on out. Blech. You're like, I that's why it's not a participation trophy, because they did more than participate. They were one of the last four teams. It's not mediocrity. They had a legit shot at the title. They were not a mediocre team. They didn't fight to expand the playoffs and get that extra spot. They just happened to be the team that got to fill it and played well enough to fill it. Same as the first team that ever won a wild card spot when that was a new thing in the 90s. Same as the first team to win a division title when that was a new thing at the time that was, it was a new thing. I don't think the emotional repercussions, or won't somebody think of the children aspect, or like this embarrasses the city because it's okay with mediocrity. I don't think that stuff is really real. Also because that's not what those words mean, but also just like they succeeded and created a full season that people got to enjoy, and all you're really doing is defining it by the end, which we've talked about. It's just a it's a useless thing for a fan. I don't know. I don't think people need to worry about this being anything other than a flag. Sometimes a flag is just a flag.
Well, and Liz, I'll say this too. Like last year in 2022, when they finally broke their decade long playoff drought, right? We were just waiting for this to happen. They finally broke through. They got the third wild card. Like they barely got in. Last year, they were the first wild card. So, I mean, even under the old rules with one wild card, they still would have gotten into the playoffs. In 2022, they wouldn't have gotten in any other year, because that was the first year they expanded to three wild cards. And I think even if they'd lost that opening series to St. Louis, if they'd raised a 2022 banner for finally breaking the 10-year playoff drought and earning the wild card, I don't think fans would have had any problem with it. I think the fact that they got to the World Series in 2022 and then fell one game short in 2023, I think that's affecting whether or not people feel like it was right to raise a 2023 banner.
I think
everybody would have been on board with a 2022 flag going up.
Yeah, I think you're right. Now that you've explained it like that, and I can completely see that point of view. Especially about the not getting as far. Like it certainly colors my view of it. I'm like, did they get as far as they did in 2022? I'm angry about this, that they didn't. I mean, and it's true, but I don't know. Like I find it. I'm trying to blunt my initial reaction, which was, why are they raising a banner for this thing that, you know, this non-accomplishment? And I don't think that's a good answer. I don't think that's a good response to have. And I don't like myself for having it.
I don't think not being upset that there's a wild card flag means you're happy with how the season ended. Because that's the response you get. You're like, what's the big deal? They had a great season. They put up a flag. You're like, oh, so you're happy with mediocrity? And you're like, no,
that's
I was really frustrated. I didn't sleep during the postseason. Again, I remembered how rough a month October is. And I was absolutely disgusted, frustrated, and saddened by how that season ended, because it shouldn't have ended that way. But again, that doesn't mean like that. That doesn't mean it's a mark of shame to have a flag commemorating it. I don't know. I guess this is not how I approach it.
Yeah.
And I my opinion will always be making the playoffs in baseball after 162 game season is worth raising a flag for. I don't care how far you go in the playoffs. It's worth raising a flag for.
I will say, if they hadn't put one up, I would not have clamored for them to do so. Like, I would have probably not thought about it.
I would have thought it was weird, honestly.
But really?
I think I would have thought it was weird that they didn't put it up. I feel like any team, put up a flag every time you make the playoffs. Put up a flag every time you make the playoffs. It's a commemoration of the fact that you had a good season and went to the playoffs.
Put up a flag even when you don't. Just put up a nice little flag. Don't put the year on it like it's celebrating anything, but just put a nice little flag. Those flags are fun. They flutter in the breeze. They bring joy to millions.
How else are you going to know which way the wind is blowing?
How
without flags?
I think you just started writing a folk song.
Woody Guthrie, watch out. All right, last thing before we wrap up. Rhys Hoskins made the Mets really angry again, and it's just a shame that he didn't do it in a Phillies uniform.
As
you all know, I'm the registered hate Rhys Hoskins guy on this podcast, as you all are well aware. I think we need to stop talking about him so much and pretending he's still on our team.
You just brought him up.
You're the one who brought it up. I was prepared to bring him up during my final remarks, but you did it for me.
I'm prepared to issue a mea culpa. Would you guys relax?
No.
My goodness.
What are you going to issue a mea culpa for saying Bryce Harper was on the decline? Yes, I'm purposefully misremembering it to make you look worse.
How many hits does he have this year?
Oh, my God. Wow, that really knocked the wind out of me. I got
it. Yeah, I got you. I took advantage of the fact he's lousy right now to score a point there. All right. Now, Rhys Hoskins, on opening day, as everybody well knows now, slid in hard to second base and knocked Jeff McNeil off the bag a little bit. Jeff McNeil got up and threw a kind of a temper tantrum at Rhys Hoskins with what seemed to be a legal slide. And most of the New York announcers appeared to be a legal slide. A legal slide. Although
they
it was hard.
Barely and bumped it him.
It didn't look like it was heavy contact, but Jeff McNeil freaked out on the field.
I got, just to jump in at this point in the story, when I heard that he had done this and I saw the fallout of it, I was expecting something much worse. I was expecting a hockey check, or he just like pulls out a crowbar as when he gets a couple feet from second base. Like, I was a little surprised at how low the contact was.
Yeah, it wasn't much. Wasn't a lot of contact. And then, McNeil's, the bench is empty. Nobody throws any punches, but Hoskins is back in the dugout doing like the crying eyes kind of thing at McNeil. And then he comes out the next day and I think goes like 3 for 4 with a home run, like 5 RBIs. Just absolutely schools him the way he did a couple times with the Phillies when they threw at him. And then he hit that home run and did the long trot around the bases. I mean, he just, New York brings out the best in Rhys Hoskins. And you can clearly... He's clearly won over the Milwaukee fan base, I would imagine. Like, this is exactly the kind of stuff that he did in Philadelphia that won over the Philadelphia fan base. Yeah, I mean, so that's my question. Yeah, Liz, it's like he's already cemented himself as a Milwaukee folk hero, right? I mean, he's created a rivalry from two teams that have no history whatsoever.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. This is what a player like Rhys Hoskins brings to a team. It's this type of intangible that he brings to a team. He's created something where nothing was, and it did not surprise me to hear that this was him. When I heard something had happened, I'm like, oh no. I'm like, is it Rhys? And then it was, and when I saw the whole thing play out, I'm just like, oh God, my baby's all grown up and he's left the nest and he's riling people up all on his own.
I said this in my write-up about opening weekend on Baseball Prospectus for the Phillies, that Rhys Hoskins had the best Phillies weekend of any Phillies player, and he is now a member of the Brewers. Like, that was so Phillies and Philadelphia. We would have enjoyed that so much. It would be like the driving story of Phillies conversation for these first few games of the season. That he stood there and did the crybaby thing was like, okay, man, this is great. Like, he was no holding back. Like, he was ready to, like, yeah, let's go. Why not? Yeah, that was incredible. The entertainment value is huge, but also that it's Rhys and the Mets. I mean, man, you're going to miss him. And we kind of talked about, hey, can you imagine if the Phillies get off to a slow start and then Rhys Hoskins has like a tremendous month of April?
The universe.
Wow, look what's happening. I hate when I say stuff like that.
Yep. I will say there is a positive development in that now we get to share Rhys Hoskins with Brewers fans in this specific way. Not that, oh, he just both played for us, but, you know, they have now the full Rhys Hoskins experience in such a short time. And now we'll always, you know, we'll have that in common. And I always love, I like it when two different fan bases can connect over like a shared player. For some reason, that always tickles me. So I'm glad that Rhys Hoskins is one of those players now.
Well, I think I think you're right with these shared players that we have that you can kind of like Milwaukee fans and Philly, like the Spider-Man memes pointing at each other like, oh, yeah, you Rhys Hoskins. Yeah, we had Rhys Hoskins for all. That's a good scene. It's a good fun time. So, yeah, it's just something I knew we would need to talk about here. I do not want to talk about Rhys Hoskins all year long.
Too bad.
But we may have no choice, friends. That just might be how things go here on the podcast. So, all right. Let's wrap things up here on this episode, and let's get to some final thoughts before we wrap up here. Justin, first off with final thoughts here on this episode.
Boy, the TV booth, as much as I love them, did not come back with their home ball off the bat vision super intact, as there were at least two balls this weekend where, you know, you look away for a second and the broadcast gets hit in the air, and then you look up to see an outfielder like 5 feet in front of the warning track settling under it. I know it was windy, but even tonight, Kruk was like off the bat with a couple of them. He just really wanted them to be hits and home runs, and they just weren't. And, you know, that's how he does that, but that's always really funny to hear Tom McCarthy warming up his home run voice, and then it's just well it's just nothing. Also, yeah. City Connect jerseys, anyone? Finally, we get to see the thing everyone said they were gonna hate and is gonna hate.
So excited!
It's Friday, right?
Get
we
ready
see him
to
on
have
Friday.
The conversation dominated with critiques of what is, you know, if the leaked images are true. It's not great.
No,
they're not great.
It's just not, you know, the level of references I wanted them to include were just never going to be the level they were going to play on. So I knew it was ultimately going to just be like, well, I hope it looks sharp. And
at least if what we've seen is true, it doesn't look sharp. We haven't seen the hats, and we haven't seen the pants, we haven't seen the whole thing yet. We've seen what
hat.
We think is the jersey. Could be a good hat, and that could make the whole jersey.
The Orioles saved theirs with the hat, sort of, you know. People are like, all right, fine, I'll buy the hat. The hat's fine.
I just want to hear what the, you know, when they do finally officially release it, if it's what we think it is, like the reasoning, the rationale for what it is, because most of the jerseys are supposed to tell a story in some way. So we'll hopefully hear what that story is.
I hope the leaked images were totally wrong. And
wouldn't
actually
that be fascinating?
Unlike with the Orioles one, it's just totally wrong. And it's just like Bryce Harper's screaming face on the entire torso. Just
be
like
amazing.
How butterflies, like they have those patterns on the back to make you think they're eyes, so they're bigger creatures than they are. Like, it's just like that, where it's like Bryce Harper's eyes are so big, opposing players are like, I don't know where to look. This is crazy.
I like that idea, I think. And also, it would just be amazing if, like, everything we think it's going to be, it turns out to be absolutely nothing like it. That would be pretty awesome.
That would be great.
What were you guys upset about? You know, I think it was going to be something else. This is it. All right, Liz, final thoughts.
It's just the Phillies uniform, but it says Philadelphia instead of Phillies across the front.
You know, it should say Phillies City Connect. Philly City Connect.
Image 404 error.
I was just
not
say on the back, image.jpg.
Oh, that would be great. Liz, final thoughts.
I was also going to talk about the City Connect jerseys, so I'll just do a little addition and say I constantly forget that you can buy jerseys that already exist from sites like eBay and Etsy. Go to your local vintage shop and look for jerseys there. Fanatics is a terrible, evil company. Don't buy from them if you can. I know if you want like a new player jersey, it's the only way to go, but do your best and check out other sources. That's what I'm going to do.
Listen, I agree with Liz, but honestly, Fanatics is really the only place you can go to get your official Connor Brogdon jersey. And that's really the only avenue you have. So
not
you
true.
Can listen to Liz. You can but if you want to get Chinese the official
sites.
Connor Brogdon jersey, yeah, yeah.
Or if you want to get a custom jersey that has like a very fun joke that everyone loves on the back instead of Connor Brogdon's name.
Yeah, I think that works. You have to go to Fanatics for some of these things. Like you just, it's just the nature of the beast. All right. Well, listen, we got off to another slow start here in 2024 with the Phillies, but hopefully, like in 22 and 23, it is. It's just for this one. This slow start doesn't last quite as long. The Phillies have a pretty easy schedule here in April, but that's why we've been talking about getting off to a faster start. So
that's why players like Bryce Harper do things like, "Hey, I'm just going to dive into this camera well real quick. Schedule's way too easy. We got to spice this up."
They won't need me for a month. And what would they do with me for a whole season anyway? I mean, let's not kid ourselves.
I was standing like at the top of a staircase when that happened. And the rush of air that left the stadium as everyone breathed inwardly simultaneously was palpable. You could probably pick it up on a weather satellite.
Do you remember in the eighth inning, or was it the eighth inning of Game 4 of the division series last year against the Braves when Harper got his elbow ran into?
Oh yeah, I was at like, that game too. That was also bad.
All I could think about was, the Phillies are going to win the series, and all I'm going to be doing is sitting here stressing about, oh my gosh, Bryce Harper's elbow is destroyed, and we're going to have to play the NLCS without Bryce Harper. And I think the only thing, I was like, going to be the worst clinch ever, you know?
Honestly, what was about to happen was everyone was going to blame Orlando Arcia, and then things were going to get real messy, even though that play had nothing to do with him, but yeah.
No, everybody would have found out. All right, everybody, look, that's going to do it for this edition of Hittin' Season, and hopefully when we speak next, the Phillies will have a couple of wins under their belt if they truly are trying to get off to a faster start here in the month of April. But again, don't let your emotions get away from you. Just remember that it's a long season and there's absolutely no reason to feel anything about the Phillies whatsoever until it's all over. So I just want to hope everyone can heed that advice as we trudge through another early Phillies set of struggles here. Want to make sure that you all are checking out our Hittin' Season Patreon. That's where you can get the Dirty Inning and Absolutely Hammered. Go to patreon.com/hittin'season. Also, our friends at Billy Penn, Justin and I write some posts to go along with these podcasts over there as well. Our landing page there is billypenn.com/hittin'season. Of course, see all of Liz's work at sports.yahoo.com, Justin's stuff at Baseball Prospectus, and read my stuff at The Good Fight and Billy Penn as well. Thanks, guys, for tuning in. We will talk to you next time right here on Hittin' Season.